This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and five focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Illinois U.S. Senator Dick Durbin is under fire today for voting to advance a Republican-led House measure that would help end the government shutdown. The Illinois Democrat joined a group of moderates in a 60-40 vote toward passing a bill to fund the government and holding a vote later to extend Affordable Care Act tax credits that expire January 1st. Mr. Durbin says the bill isn't perfect, but he says it helps minimize hurt. Durbin's vote was criticized by Illinois counterpart, U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, who says she does not trust a vague promise from President Trump and Republicans to address these expiring tax credits. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson says he is confident police did not violate the welcoming city ordinance when they responded this weekend to protests. Police are not allowed to assist with federal deportation efforts, and video shows Chicago police officers aggressively intervening between agents and protesters. Some residents are infuriated. They say Chicago officers are deterring their efforts, and the mayor defended the department's response.
Their job, of course, is to minimize the chaos that's being provocated by a very demented individual.
Johnson appears to be referring to Border Patrol Chief Gregory Bovino. The mayor condemned yet another weekend of aggressive federal tactics under Bovino's leadership, including pepper spraying a one-year-old in suburban Cicero. Even though Chicagoans are used to snow, a significant snowfall this early might still be a little much for some people. But as my colleague Alex Degman reports, what can you do?
Leaves that had just reached their peak autumn colors fell softly onto a fresh 3 inches of snow in Albany Park on the northwest side this morning. The sun was starting to peek through as Chris Pierre left Tabor Lutheran Church.
Chicago's a great place to live, but one of the drawbacks is snow.
Chicago doesn't typically get measurable snow for another week or so. Anything over an inch usually takes well into December. So this burst caught Pierre off guard.
I don't have all of my winter clothes out. I need to drag out the boots.
Was it too early?
It's a little too early.
The National Weather Service says a La Nina pattern will be active through February, which could mean a colder and snowier winter. Alex Degman, WBEZ News.
And since we're talking about snow, the holiday season has officially kicked off in Chicago. Dozens of Christmas trees that represent different cultures are now on display at the Griffin Museum of Science and Industry. My colleague Anna Savchenka has a look.
The annual exhibit began in the 1940s as a single tree representing unity during World War II. This year, it features more than 50 trees, all with different decorations representing different countries. People had different favorites.
Croatia.
I love the Christmas tree from Poland.
The tree from the Philippines.
7-year-old Frida Rosales was a fan of the snowflakes on the enormous Christmas tree at the center of the exhibit.
It looks good.
She and her dad stood in the crowd as the tree was lit up.
Yay!
The exhibit runs through January 5th. I'm Savchenka, WBEZ News.
And holiday-related as well, America's most-watched New Year's Eve celebration is coming to Chicago. Mayor Brandon Johnson announcing today that Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve will be broadcast live from Chicago. This marks the first Central Time Zone midnight countdown in the show's more than 50-year history. You're listening to The Rundown. The 2020 murder of George Floyd stirred waves of activism and protest across the country. It also sparked a year of reflection. In Chicago, several major arts groups joined businesses, big and small, in showing solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement, and many promised in public DEI plans to make changes to better reflect the city they serve. And now, 5 years later, the Sun-Times and WBEZ have surveyed 21 arts, culture, and humanities nonprofits to see what progress they've made. Sun-Times reporter Erica Thompson joined my colleague Claire Lane to talk about the survey and what she learned.
So why did you want to survey the city's biggest arts groups?
We really wanted to measure the progress of diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts here in the art sector. And because a lot of these organizations made promises to diversify their staffs and their boards and their programming, we really wanted to try to hold them accountable and see where they stood 5 years later.
So what did you ask these companies to show you in order to measure some of their progress?
We asked them to provide the demographics of their boards and full-time staff members in 2021 and 2025. We also asked them to share examples of programming that reflect people of color.
And we should say that Chicago Public Media is the parent company of both WBEZ and the Sun-Times. It was also asked to participate in this survey. What did the groups tell you?
So of the 21 that we wanted to survey, 7 agreed to complete the survey. And those organizations were Chicago Shakespeare Theater, Navy Pier, Timeline Theater, Merritt School of Music, Old Town School of Music, Steppenwolf Theater, and as you mentioned, Chicago Public Media. And the results showed minor increases in the share of people of color on their boards and their full-time staff. For those that didn't participate, a few sent statements emphasizing their commitments to reflecting the city within their organizations and, you know, putting on programming that also reflects the city. But a large number of them did not provide a reason why they didn't participate.
Based on what you gathered, what do you think some of those main reasons groups chose not to participate?
There are several reasons. There's no secret that there have been federal attacks on diversity, equity, and inclusion. President Trump dismantled a lot of diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at the federal level. Corporations have been sued because of their diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, and a lot of arts organizations have lost federal funding. So there could be a fear of emphasizing diversity, equity, and inclusion programs right now because they might be punished.
Yeah, speaking up could lead to more cuts.
Exactly. But on the other hand, there is a possibility that some of these organizations did not make as much change as they wanted to. We have heard from artists and advocates that this has been a problem long before the current backlash against diversity, equity, and inclusion, and they're concerned that these organizations really didn't take the steps that they said they would.
In Chicago, 2/3 of residents are people of color. Did you find that these major art groups are reflecting this population better now?
They have made minor progress. So between 2021 and 2025, most of the organizations have increased the share of people of color on their boards and their staff. For example, the city of Chicago is made up of 68% people of color. And then also Latinos make up roughly 30% of Chicago's population. And Black residents make up 27% of the population. But most of these organizations are not close to that. To kind of drill down a little further, So 5 of the organizations currently have boards that include between 26% and 44% people of color, while the others have boards that include fewer than 20% people of color. They have been more successful in diversifying their staffs. But when it comes to Latinos specifically on boards, we did notice that a lot of organizations do not have any representation or very low representation.
But there was progress that was made. What stood out to you?
Yeah, so Merritt School of Music stood out. They are an organization in the city that works to break down barriers to classical music for young people. They have moved the needle quite a bit when it comes to their board and their staff. And we actually recently sat in on one of their band programs at Rachel Carson Elementary in Gage Park. We talked to band director Stephen Gooden. Let's hear a little bit from him.
As a Black conductor, I've probably played for 2 people that look like me in my whole life. And so I see that value of somebody that looks like you or other people that of color that don't have those same kinds of opportunities. It's like absolutely critical for like self-worth and like drive to push forward in the future. I think that Merritt's mission to make sure that we're serving all students from Chicago, I think they're really successful at that.
And I'll ask, how did Chicago Public Media do?
So Chicago Public Media was the only survey respondent that reported a decrease in the share of people of color on its board. However, following staff reductions, the organization did manage to increase its share of people of color on the Sun-Times staff. And then when it comes to WBEZ staff, it remained nearly the same.
That was Sun-Times Erica Thompson. Thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
For more information about our findings, you can head to suntimes.com.
Whether it's a sunny and cold day, high in the mid-30s, cloudy and windy tonight, a low in the upper 20s, and Tuesday, Veterans Day, cloudy, breezy, slight chance of snow in the morning, and then sunny in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high in the low 40s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.